Wednesday, February 6th, 2008, upon further review, episode number 55. A word of warning to our loyal listeners out there. Our show this week deals with some serious and adult-related themes, specifically, what happens when celebrities behave badly. Listen with caution. Okay, upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And we are pleased to welcome a guest star to the show today. As everyone knows, this is our first show back after the birth of our child. We'll talk about that in a second. But we wanted to bring in a heavy hitter. So all the way down from Boston, he drove down just for this, just to record this show, because we couldn't have done it live, you know, over the computer or something, is Aaron. So welcome, Aaron. What's up?
Thank you. And by drive, you meant took a bus.
Yes, yeah. I did mean that. I'm sorry.
He's a one-name star, Aaron.
That's right.
My name's Aaron. That's it.
That's all. Aaron's actually a good friend, and he is a guitarist in my band, which I have mentioned on here before. And he's helping me out with my creative writing class tomorrow. So he's going to be doing this presentation, and the kids are all expecting this.
Off topic.
Super genius.
Back on track. We'll be just complaining about this later.
I know.
Earlier.
About staying on topic.
About it again.
Yeah, it's right.
So let's go.
Staying on topic.
You listed three things we were going to talk about. This was not one of them.
That's true. I'm just giving a little background. I've explained. This is all the banter pre the show. We do want to thank everybody for their comments and well wishes on the birth of our daughter. We really appreciate it. We got far too many comments to thank individually. Most of them you can find on our webpage. But we want to thank everybody, DI and Tim and Bernadette and AJ and Idiosyncratic Idiot and everybody out there for checking in and saying hello, Michael and the rest. So we really appreciate that. She is doing very well. And in fact, mom is currently feeding the baby as we speak. So it is fully a family affair here.
I sent a card.
Yeah. And Aaron sent a card, which we appreciate too. So we want to thank everybody for that. And we are going to be, somebody asked us whether we were going to review sleep. And sleep has been, you know, it's less than normal, but it hasn't been terrible. You know, we've been able to get 4 or 5 hours at a stretch. So, you know, we're managing. We're cruising along there. So we will, I'm sure, talk more about her in future episodes when things come up to review. But tonight we are getting back on the horse, back on the wagon, back into the review schedule, so to speak. And we've got three things as per normal to review. We're going to be leading off by talking about voting. This is primary season. We're recording this on the Wednesday after Super Tuesday, actually. So we figured we had a lot to talk about relating to voting. And so we'll talk about that to begin with. Then we're going to move on to review Celebrity. What the heck is the name of the show?
Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew.
That's right. Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, which is a VH1 show. This was Aaron's request because Aaron is a big fan. And we happen to have seen the show. You know, yeah. So it's because it's got Dr. Drew and it has celebrities who are in rehab. So really. How can you go wrong? And then we're going to conclude by reviewing the American Talk USA podcast, which was submitted to us for review. So let us get underway. We're going to start by talking about voting and reviewing voting. And we took a look here, actually, at voting machines. The reason we first thought about this was Clea and I went yesterday to vote at the school, which is right in the corner near us, and where, you know, typical kind of elementary school where they rolled in these voting machines. But we were going to talk about voting machines because we went in to vote, okay, and there are these old archaic machines from, I don't know, 1935 is when they looked like they were built. These huge metal monstrosities, right? Where you go in and you flip the little levers and then you take the big lever and you go and it supposedly registers your whole vote. Except that ours got stuck. And apparently it had been stuck often, you know, throughout much of the day. And so a lot of these people who were very nice, but, you know, didn't really have a lot of knowledge necessarily of technical matters, which mostly in any way included them sort of like ramming the thing frantically to the left to try to open it. And what I loved about it was while we were trying to do all this, you know, they were talking about the importance of keeping your vote secret and the private thing, and you want to make sure it's private. And meanwhile, they're all like, oh, let me see what I could do. So they're walking into the booth after I've already voted, and they're like, you know, slamming the thing around and like, I don't know what's going on. Hey, Bob, why don't you come over here and help? So we were a little distressed about this, and that's what got us to thinking about voting generally.
Well, then
right?
The same thing happened for me, and so they gave me a paper voting, and so I put in, either they give it to me and they give me a pen, and then they walk off, and then this other woman comes up and she says, what do you need, honey? Do you need a pen? And I said, no, could I use, I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything, but really what I wanted to say was, can I have a room to go in? Can I have a little barrier to put around, you know, when you did little tests or something, one of those pieces of paper that kind of stands on end.
Right.
So pretty much everyone saw who I voted for.
Right. Which, you know, was we didn't get too badly intimidated, I guess. But one of the arguments we had about this was that it's so uneven because, Aaron, you voted up in Massachusetts. And
yes,
like,
yes,
what
did
you what did you guys have? Like, you just have...
You walked in, you know, they gave you a little paper ballot.
Yep.
And you went over to these... they were about chest-high tables that had little partitions that you could put
okay.
three people at a time.
Okay.
That were not nearly large enough to actually fit your ballot on. So
charming.
And there was a pen, a felt-tip pen on there, so you kind of put your ballot on there, you circle the felt... Oh, and I should say that when they gave you the ballot, they gave you this this sort of folder that was in two pieces that was slightly smaller than the ballot, and when you put the ballot inside, it covered all the marks that you made, but bits of it were able to overhang.
I see.
So when you're actually walking away from the polling place, you're... ballot was covered, and the way it used to work is then you would hold that thing to the machine that would suck the ballot in. But when I went over to the police guy, he was like, "Yeah, give me that thing."
And charming.
So that I had to take my ballot out.
He picks it up. Who the heck is this guy? Why are you voting for him? Like,
I
oh no,
the ballot out. So I had to take the ballot out and then feed it into the machine that way. But that's not how it used to work. But
now, do you get a paper receipt, by the way, of your vote?
Did I need to get a paper receipt of my vote?
Well,
no one suggested that I should.
I don't know. How do you know your vote counted? How do you know they're like, oh, sure, you can vote for blah instead? Why don't you vote for this man, Adolf Hitler's cousin?
What do you
no,
mean receipt?
I didn't get a
you
paper
mean receipt
vote.
Of who receipt. You voted for?
Yeah, like a paper
that.
Trail.
I would like that. I really would like that because when you use these archaic things, I can't help but think it just went into the cosmos.
But
I know that you can't do that because then people could buy votes.
But then also, like... if they give you a little paper receipt, like, somebody's going to know for whom you voted.
Right.
Well, but not if it just pops out of the machine and you take it and then the
like,
machine
give it
clears.
Quick.
Yeah. Like, well, if someone comes over and they're like, is this yours? Like, give it to me. Like, I mean, you know,
yeah.
Maybe they could just make it on this ink that, you know, appears 10 minutes after you leave the room. You know, it's almost like a Polaroid picture.
I mean,
you know?
I wasn't too worried about like people, you know, I wasn't worried about people seeing for whom I voted anyway, because I certainly did not vote for Mitt Romney and that would have been the only shameful choice. And I didn't vote for him, so I didn't feel bad. Like, anybody could have seen for whom I voted. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
That's fine.
It's not Mitt Romney.
So it got us thinking about the process of voting generally and, you know, what we think about it. And we took a look here at this website, which is activevoteamerica.com. That's ACTIVOTE America.com. And they have a whole thing here about the history of voting. And obviously voting starts in its earliest form in ancient Greece, around maybe 508 BC. And it was interesting because I wasn't aware of this, that the Greeks had a negative election. Voters were asked to cast a vote for the politician they most wanted to exile for 10 years. See,
nice.
We need to get back
sweet.
To the ancient Greeks, because
oh,
how
yeah.
great is that? That is tremendous.
I don't know. That's tough, though. For whom would I vote first? I guess... I mean, I got a lot of choices.
I mean, that's the
well,
thing,
does
right?
Does it have to be one of the ones on the ballot now, or can I choose anyone?
Yeah, can I pick any alive or dead?
Nice.
Well, I mean, at the
can
time...
I, like, I want Ulysses S. Grant's remains
well,
exhumed and shipped out of the country for 10 years.
What it says is that if any... what it says is, if any politician received more than 6,000 votes, then the one with the largest number was exiled. If no politician received 6,000 votes, then all remained. And if there was a fairly even spread of votes, nobody would get over 6,000 and no one would get exiled. Hence, only very unpopular politicians were ostracized and exiled. So George Bush would have been ostracized... what, like 3 years ago at this point,
nice.
I think, based on popularity polls and things. But votes were written on broken pots, ostraka in Greek, and from that name comes our present word to ostracize. Wow, that's pretty neat.
That is sweet.
That's pretty interesting. So see, that was the
etymology
earliest
kicks
voting.
Ass.
That's right. Aaron is also a Latin expert, so that all fits too.
Yeah, but I don't know, that's Greek.
Yeah, well, I know that. I'm just saying, you're a linguist, though.
Oh, it's all the same, Aaron.
It's Latin.
It's all
yeah.
old stuff.
Yeah.
That's
so
all
you,
I know.
Are you Chinese or Japanese?
So then we have medieval Venice, which was built in the 13th century and elected a great council of 40 members. The Venetians introduced approval voting. Electors cast one vote for every candidate they find acceptable and none for those whom they deem unacceptable. The winner is the person acceptable to the largest number of voters. Now, see, that's not as cool as the ostracization thing, but it's, you know, moving more towards
it's
modern.
Kind of like how we do it.
Yeah.
Except you can vote for multiple people, I suppose.
Right. So that's true, too. And then voting obviously continued up until this day. I mean, I guess, you know, obviously that we all know, I guess, the positives of what comes out from the process of voting. First of all, not only is it a way to sort of record the will of the people, but it's a public way to do that. You know, it's a certain day, you go together to a polling place, unless you're doing absentee ballots or something, you go together to this polling place, it's a kind of common event that all the citizenry engages in, and you cast your vote, and so you are in some ways having a physical, tangible effect on the process. process that you can see. You know, you go in, you give them the ballot that actually matters.
Although you would think that, like, the United States would finally get its act together and, like, make an amendment, move out of the dark ages and have elections on, like, maybe a Saturday, or make it some sort of
have
national
it a holiday,
holiday.
I know.
So, you know, like other sensible countries do, so that you don't have to skip
city
work
workers
or something.
Get the day off.
You city workers get the day off.
That's right.
Awesome. I didn't get the day off. I had to get up early, walk to the polling place, and then take the bus to work.
Wow.
Although, I mean, it's open from 7 to 8 in Massachusetts, yeah. But I had other stuff to do in the evening.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what you get for having a life.
Yeah, I know.
Voting should be your life, Aaron.
Well, at 7 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, it was.
It was. Well, that's the thing, too, is that some of these places, you know, since it's state by state, some of the states where we vote have, you know, the polls here are open until 9, but apparently there are some states where it closes at 7, which I would think would be pretty rough for people who work like even like a 10 to 6 job. I mean,
craziness.
Yeah. I mean, like, it would be pretty difficult. You're right. It should be a national holiday. Of all the holidays out there, honestly, nothing against President's Day, but between celebrating dead presidents,
President's Day,
and this, can't we maybe, you know,
what I'd like to say is I think we can give our rating for voting, but I also want to say we could give our rating for voting in America, which I think really is really bad right now. With all of the voting crises and all the things that have gone wrong.
Like Diebold.
And then all these states that wanted to have their primaries earlier and then lost delegates. So it made me.
Michigan and Florida.
Voting,
we're looking at you.
That meant that voting in those states was useless. I mean, it's such a broken system in America, it feels like.
Good job, DNC, for taking away votes. Good work there. People
I know,
in Michigan don't matter.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They made this whole primary season to try to make basically to try to elect the person earlier. You know, you push all these things up earlier and all of a sudden it's over. It's actually had the opposite effect because it means that you've had, you know, Obama wins one, Clinton wins the next, and then all of a sudden it's this long, drawn-out thing. And so it's actually taking much longer now than they had originally intended when everyone was trying to be. There was even a possibility earlier that they might have moved the New Hampshire primary to late December of last year. Which
to make sure that they were first in the nation.
To make sure they're first. Which as it is, there's already way too much attention paid, like too much time paid to elections.
Yeah, and like that actually might have made Fred Thompson a viable candidate if you had moved it that early, which is ridiculousness.
That's a good point.
And wasted votes.
Or Giuliani even, like who might have stayed in a little bit longer before people forgot about him.
But why this obsession with being first? Why does it matter?
It's America, baby, I guess.
Yeah, be first. Be number one. Number one. Woo!
That's it. It's what it is. It's your number one. And that's everyone needs to be first. But it does really impact the way that voting ought to work. But so so let's say, I mean, as a principle,
let's rate voting as a principle.
Do we want voting as a principle to exist, though, given the fact that it may cause that kind of mob mentality where sometimes citizenry will, because of emotional, you know, feelings towards a particular candidate, will not elect the proper candidate? Is that
what do you want to do? Disenfranchise the entire populace of the United States?
It's been done before. I mean, you know.
Are you guys going to break into Monty Python now?
No.
No, it's a system of government. No, but I mean, like a meritocracy. You know, maybe there's something to be said for the idea. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Maybe there is a problem with democracy in that regard, that voting kind of leads to this sense that only the majority matters. And really, you know, maybe the better idea matters more than just how many people have a bad idea.
Well, I mean, there's that, but then there's also people not completely understanding the system of the actual, like, after people get elected, what actually happens. A great example of that is, I don't know how many decades ago, we had a Senator Slade Gorton in Washington, who was an incredibly old guy. He had been a senator for I don't know how many decades.
You can tell that because his name is Slade.
Right. And so he was on all of these different committees. He was ahead of a few different committees. He had a lot of say. You know, he had a lot of connections, blah, blah, blah. Well, in one election, everyone said, oh, let's get out. Let's get rid of him and bring in this new chick. Who then, no one thought about the fact that that means that Washington State loses all of this power. They no longer have a senator that's on the head of all of these different committees.
Good.
Because what we need to do is disenfranchise Washington first. Like, let's start with that state,
please. Gotta start somewhere.
Might as well start with a freaking space needle. Come on here. But no, it's a good point. I mean, people don't understand the process as much as they should. And even the way it's done here with the primary system, and there's caucuses, but caucuses are not the same as primaries. And you have delegates, and on the Democratic side, you have delegates and superdelegates who are basically just people that the Democratic Party likes, that they can send to the Democratic Convention, and who could theoretically switch their allegiance at any time and don't have to vote based on
anything. That's one thing that a lot of people also probably don't realize, that especially with caucuses, the delegates are not obliged to actually vote in accord with the popular vote from where they came.
There's like heavy
pressure
to do that.
Like.
Right, right. That's right. so they could vote for Donald Duck if they wanted. In fact,
they could write in, you know, 1,000 votes for Donald Duck.
In the national election, there have been some cases. In fact, I think there was one election, I think, decided by this, wasn't there? Where one of the delegates refused to support whoever it was he had been sent to support, and that ended up swinging the election because it was so close.
That's entirely possible.
That was the electors, not delegates in that case.
In some states, there are laws that oblige the electors to vote in accord with the popular vote, but some of them don't have to.
Another reason to get rid of the electoral vote, I guess. But so in general terms, are we generally in favor of voting as a principle despite its flaws? I mean, it seems to be maybe the best system that we've come up with thus far, apparently.
Well, I think it's the closest we can get to a major tool of empowering people to be a part of their government. But unfortunately, it's very limited in that regard.
Well, I mean, I think we should go to throwing darts at a board.
would be a lot more empowering.
That would be very empowering. Well, I mean, you know, we're stuck where we're stuck. I mean, we have to... I don't know. I feel like I need to have some sort of say, but unfortunately, we're stuck in a representative republic, which is the only feasible system of government.
Right.
So, that being the case, do we want to say, perhaps, by the way, Aaron, this is a 10-point scale, just so
10-point scale.
So, do we want to say, like, a 7 out of 10 for voting? That's going to be my guess, is 7 out of 10.
That's crazy. I got to give voting a 10 out of 10 because I see no other viable alternative to voting.
All right, Clea.
I was going to give it 8.
Well, then that looks like we've got 8, so it's 8.5, but we don't do half points, so...
So an 8.
Yeah, so an 8. So we're going to say, combining all of our opinions together, an 8 out of 10 for voting generally. And then very quickly, on the American system, what about the American voting system?
2.
Wow, whoa. It's not that terrible. A 2, that's barely above the pot thing with the ostracizing
people. Need I remind
people.
You that we had a president voted into office twice who didn't actually win?
Well,
two.
I mean, we can't demonstrate for sure that he didn't win the second time.
You mean the popular vote?
This is what I hear. Blah, 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 blah.
It's all clicks two. And whistles over here.
I'm not going to say a 2. I'd say more like 5 or 6 is what I would say. I think it's because I think that although there are a lot of flaws to it, we do have 300 million people in this country. And the fact that you can generally reasonably ascertain the will of the populace, leaving out 2000 in Florida, suggests to me that, you know, it's not a horrendous system, although there are problems with it. So I would say 6.
I don't like having to rank it this way because, in general, I think the voting system in the United States works fine. I'm not particularly enthusiastic about the Electoral College. I think that should be changed. But other than that, I think voting works how voting is supposed to work, and people mm-hmm. do what they're supposed to do. But I think more people in the United States need to vote. I mean,
that's true.
Voter turnout here is pretty pathetic.
Turnout's been better this time around, so hopefully that will help.
Yeah, I mean, compared to a lot of countries. So, I mean, all those things taken into account. I guess I have to give it, you know, maybe like a 6.
Okay.
But I have to say I can't really gauge that well because I've never lived in another country and I don't know exactly how voting
Well, we'd be
there.
Interested to hear. You guys should, especially Bernadette and Tim from Australia. We have Yale from Israel. Other people who are out there are listeners from abroad. Please check in and let us know because we'd like to know about what you guys think about your own voting systems in your countries. But we will say, Aaron and I say 6. Clea says 2. So I guess we'll have to modify that down to a 5.
No, you can make it 6.
6? You're right about that? Okay. So a 6 out of 10.
I'm not okay with it, but I...
Okay. So an 8 out of 10 for voting in the abstract and a 6 out of 10 for voting specifically in America. Okay. The second thing that we've got on the docket for tonight is celebrity rehab with Dr. Drew, because there's no better way to follow up voting than to follow up a reality show about celebrities who are drunk. And you can find this at vh1.com/shows/dyn/, and then just basically type in celebrity and you'll get there. It'll bring you over to that spot.
This is day 4 of rehab, and people are just coming out of the fog of withdrawal and detox. They can feel very fragile, irritable, desperate. This is where the fireworks sometimes begin, and they certainly did this morning.
If there is a situation that happened, you know, do we get to talk about how we felt about it?
Please, please.
The thing between you and I when we talked that really alarmed me was the ultimate question of, well, do you want to get sober? And your answer was, you didn't know. That really scared me. That was quite jarring to me.
I'm sure it was. It was very jarring to me.
What's the real deal here?
I don't know.
You don't know whether you want to get sober? What is it?
There's a part of me that, some part of me that really wants to get sober and has for a very, very long time.
You know what? If I leave here tomorrow and decide that I'm going to use, I'm going to spend 10 days in a hotel room going back and forth in a car 24-7, getting the dealer to show up and you know, buying the alcohol and trying to wheel and deal my business manager to try to give me money that I'm saying is really for something else while I'm trying to cover up why I wasn't at the audition and blah, 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 blah. You know what, Jeff?
I don't do that. I stay at home. And I sit there and call my doctor.
That's not life, what's been going on.
No, that's not life. It's closer to death.
Aaron, since you're the big aficionado of the show, why don't you explain basically what the show's about?
Okay. The show, everyone, or most people probably know Dr. Drew. He has a radio show, Love Lines, it's called, out in the
an MTV
California.
Show too, didn't he?
It was an MTV show for a little while, too, with Adam Carolla. And, you know, so he's actually a psychiatrist, I believe. He's a medical professional. I think he's a psychiatrist. And he's also, as he likes to say, a licensed addictionologist, whatever that means. But so the premise of the show is Dr. Drew, with the help of the production crew at the VH1, recruited unto himself many messed up celebrities. Among them, Jamie Foxworthy. She was the younger daughter on Family Matters.
Foxworth.
Seth, what's his name? Seth Binzer. Rico Rodriguez, Daniel Baldwin, that guy.
Rico Rodriguez is the guy, Rico Suave.
Rico Suave, he was a UFC fighter. Daniel Baldwin, he's like the ugly Baldwin brother. Bridget Nielsen, who looks something like the Crypt Keeper with huge fake breasts.
Bridget Nielsen, I cannot...
a really bad picture.
I can't believe that that's what Bridget Nielsen looks like now.
That's a really bad picture.
That is deeply disturbing.
Yvonne Niet. Yeah, she doesn't look like that.
She's come a long way from
Joni,
Rocky IV.
Joni Lauer.
That's also a really bad picture of China.
Known as China Doll from the WWE. She was a wrestler for a little while.
I think they like took pictures of like when they were the most strung out or something.
Yeah. Or when they were just coming off the drugs so that they
look
really
nasty.
My God,
look at that long bio for
Mary
China.
Carey. She was that
star an adult
who ran
film
for,
star.
who ran for California. What'd she run for? She ran for governor,
ran
right?
For governor.
Governor
yep.
of California.
Oh, that's
recall.
Her? Oh, cool.
Oh, Jeff Conaway. Poor Jeff Conaway. He's all kinds of messed up.
And he's barely on it because he's just so screwed up all the time.
He just does not sound good. I actually feel bad. The rest of them I find kind of laughable, but Jeff Conaway I actually feel badly for because he's just clearly messed up.
So you say that they picked these celebrities? These celebrities don't come to them and
of
say,
of course
we need
not.
Help,
you know, like the production. Well, I don't know. This is my guess. My guess is that the production staff.
You've been
is
deeply
like,
involved
think,
with the production of the show. I know.
Let's
Aaron, so.
Let's think of some celebrities who are clearly messed up and let's call them and be like, hey, you want to be on a show? And most of them are going to be like, what? And then hang up. and then some of them will be like, how much does it pay? That's not enough. Hang up.
Yeah, right.
And some of them will be like, okay, that's cool. Like Jamie Foxworth, for example. She's probably just not getting any work anymore. You know, she got out of she got thrown off Family Matters, basically. They wrote a character out, and then she went and had a brief stint in adult film, and now she's not doing anything, and she apparently smokes an awful lot of weed. That's her addiction.
Oh, her addiction is marijuana?
Yeah, okay. She smokes a lot of pot.
So this isn't just alcohol. So
No.
Drugs,
it's alcohol. Seth Binzer apparently is a huge cocaine addict. Rico Rodriguez, I'm not sure what he was doing, cocaine and some other things. I know Daniel Baldwin is apparently recovered. He's in recovery, but he went on the show probably because he needed a check. And he was like, I wanted to come here and share my experience with everyone
else. Yeah, it
would
have been inspiration.
And get a check.
Yeah.
And in fairness, Baldwin was arrested in 2006 after crashing a rented Ford Thunderbird into parked cars in a street in Los Angeles, going 80 miles an hour in a 35 mile per hour zone. He was also driving on a suspended license at the time. He was also arrested and booked for Grand Theft Auto in November. So he is technically in recovery, but I wouldn't say that this is in the deep past.
Grand
you know
Theft
what I mean?
Auto, oh. Like he stole a car?
Nine months, I think he has been clean and sober. Nine months, so it's not been that long. Yeah. Bridget Nielsen, alcoholic... Joni Lauer thinks that she's not an alcoholic, and so Dr. Drew asked her, so why are you on this show? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Check. Mary Carey, unclear exactly what she was addicted to, probably drinking and some other sorts of drugs. And Jeff Conaway is all kinds of messed
everything,
up. He's on like every pill you can imagine.
So
and
then,
cocaine.
But let me ask then, okay, so a typical show, because I saw the last part. Cleas watches it sometimes. Aaron watches it all the time. I watched a little bit of it. And what it looked like to me was it was the episode where Daniel was leaving the show because originally because supposedly he was offended by the sight of some women that were scantily clad, and he thought that was inappropriate because they weren't in rehab with him. Then, when he left the show, this stuff came out that perhaps it was because he was texting one of the other actors on the show, and that was inappropriate, and so that's why he had left, because he didn't want to get caught. Either way, so the question is it more like this kind of fake-ish reality show where they're basically just putting a bunch of people who are really screwed up in the same rooms and seeing what happens? Or is there any like legitimate attempt to try to heal them? You know, like, now, is Dr. Drew just completely sold out at this point? Or
this is it's a combination of both, right? I mean, they obviously were like, this is a great idea because we'll have a bunch of messed up celebrities all in one place and great stuff is just going to happen because they're all coming off drugs and it's going to be amazing. And but then, of course, I think Dr. Drew is actually trying to help them out. I mean, like, you know, they're in a recovery facility.
Yeah, I mean, he said that like the last couple times. I mean, he is responsible. He is medically responsible for these people, and that does concern him. You know, he wants to make sure that he's doing what he needs to be doing.
And, you know, they can't have their phones on them. Like, they have to surrender all this stuff. You know, they're in a rehab facility. Yeah. That's what they're there for. It just happens to be a rehab facility that has lots of cameras around it.
Right.
And Dr. Drew himself in the most recent one, I mean, of course, this could be just be, you know, putting a little spin on it, was like, I think this is good for you guys in that you would never have done this if it hadn't happened this way. If it hadn't happened this way, that you were coming here, being on TV and getting paid, you know, you probably never would have tried to get clean, and you would have just kept doing what you were doing.
Are there people that make progress on the show from what you can tell? Like, are there people who've gotten better? Or
well, Jeff Conaway has clearly at least gotten somewhat better in that he's now somewhat cogent.
he can actually speak complete sentences. Charming.
Yeah, and
charming.
Like, he's not like, you know, he was going through some serious DTs and stuff, some serious delirium tremens. He's all crazy and freaking out and stuff. I mean,
wow. So there is some progress that's being made on this show. And then, yeah, now the other question I always have about these things is, how realistic is it? I mean, do you get the sense that some of these addictions are made up, that they're pushing it for the cameras? I mean, how much of this seems to be an honest representation of the addictions that they actually have?
Well, in Jeff Conaway's case, I guess I would say it looks pretty. It looks
poor
pretty reasonable.
Jeff Conaway,
see, like, that guy is all messed up, and like, you see that he's pretty messed up. Jamie Foxworth, like, come on, she smokes a lot of weed. I mean, it's not strictly speaking, she's physically addicting. She probably needs to get away from it and get in some place where she's not going to be in the environment where she's smoking a lot of pot anymore. But she's not sitting there being like, man, I really. No, she's not doing that. And
I wish you could have seen what Aaron was doing just then, listening audience.
Some of the other ones, like Seth Binzer, actually had some tough times when he was, because he was doing a lot of opiates as well. So he actually had like some severe physical withdrawal symptoms.
And the Bridget chick, I mean, we witnessed on what was the TV show?
Flavor of Love. Oh no, Strange Love and Celebrity Surreal Life. Like,
I mean,
she was drunk all the time, constantly hammered. So she's probably, her liver is probably like, thank you.
So you think that this is more or less on the up and up, with the exception of the fact that there are these cameras around?
I mean, for some of them, yes. For some of them, no. I mean, Daniel Baldwin is there because he's collecting a check. Like, he's obviously not really doing any drugs anymore.
Yeah, and he was making all sorts of excuses. He's been a little bit of
he's like, I have to
whiner.
Do this, I have to do that. I don't like these cameras being around. It's like, what did you think was going to happen, pal? I mean, come on.
So the whole thing, and I wonder if when he leaves, he has to forfeit the money that he was being paid, you know, to do this.
I would presume.
I'm sure he gets to keep whatever portion of what
it's
he
prorated
did.
The amount of time
prorated,
that he actually stayed
he'll be prorated.
Go to Celebrity and have fun. And this is actually, there have been a lot of shows of this kind. There's that show that you watch, Clea, with The Intervention, right, where you have all these people who get brought in.
That's a good show.
That's more sort of that's not celebrity oriented, but there's been a lot of attention at getting people off addiction and things like that. Okay, so here's the $6 million question then. In your two esteemed person's opinion, you believe that this is not about watching a train wreck. I mean, this was not designed to, let's make a show about a train wreck.
Well, oh, no, absolutely. It absolutely is about watching
a train wreck. I just want to be clear
here. It absolutely
here.
Is. I mean, it's about watching a train wreck that hopefully, like, gets at least one person sober. But it's definitely about, like, seeing, you know, crazy messed
it's
up people.
It's about pulling people from
stuff.
The wreckage of the train wreck.
Presumably. Okay. Like, let's watch the train wreck, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know, because most of the, I've seen 2-3 episodes, and all of them are kind of
3 or 4, I think. So you haven't
all of them
much.
Are kind of sober. They're all sober and they're doing their
yeah, I mean,
treatment.
The, yeah,
so.
The most wreckage that you see is like when they get into fights because they're irrational and stuff. But they're not messed up anymore.
Okay, so they're moving in the right direction. Okay.
Yeah. All you get to see is pretty much celebrities making excuses, which is it is legitimate, like, addiction treatment. That's pretty much
and legitimate
what goes
celebrity
on.
Behavior, by the way. I mean, Britney Spears. I mean, yeah. You just think about that. All right, so then the question, I guess, would be a rating. Aaron, well, I guess we can lead off with you. What would you rate the show?
I would give this, like, an 8 out of 10. This, as
because
far
you
as
like
reality,
train wrecks.
As far as reality television shows go, this is a freaking genius idea. This is a genius idea. Let's get a bunch of really messed up celebrities, try to get them off drugs, see what happens. This is just TV gold in the making.
All right, Cleo, what's...
I mean, plus Daniel Baldwin's there, like, sending apparently pictures of himself over the phone.
So automatically, that's an extra point.
Like, how genius is that?
That's great.
While his pregnant wife is home alone.
Yeah, while his four-month pregnant wife is home, like, hoping that he's going to stay off drugs.
That's true.
And he's like, this situation is no longer conducive to my sobriety, period, because I'm sending pictures of myself to other women. How's his wife going to like seeing that on TV now?
Yeah, that could be tough.
He has to outfly the show, like, production. Get on the jet, get home before the show actually comes
out. I mean, come
on.
Didn't he think about that when he was doing it? He's like, oh, God, they're filming this. Apparently not.
Maybe he did because it's more money. I don't know. Check. Yeah. All right, Clea, what about you?
I do wonder. I mean, you might just kind of lose touch with thinking that the cameras are there, but he made such a big deal about the cameras being there. I find it hard to believe.
Maybe he's like, maybe I can screw stuff up with my wife and then they'll make a TV show about me trying to get back together with my wife.
There
more
you go.
Money.
Brilliant. 7?
A 7. Okay, we've got an 8 and a 7. As people, long-time listeners to UFR will know, I am not a fan of most reality TV shows, and I'm not as sure that I enjoy train wrecks quite as much as Aaron does, so I probably would be tempted to give this more of a 6. So since we have 6, 7, 8, that averages out to 7, if I've done my math properly. So we will say a 7 out of 10 for Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. Please check it out. Let us know what you think, and tell us whether you also enjoy train wrecks. That would be a good thing to know. Okay, moving on to our last item of the evening. It is the AmericanTalkUSA.com website, and it's the American Talk USA podcast. This was submitted to us for review by the makers of the show, and they actually said, please feel free to have the last word on American Talk USA with a review in a future episode of Upon Further Review. At USA is a podcast about American life and travel. We have regular contributors, including a licensed dietitian and a Pinnacle Northwest airline pilot. It started in July 2007 and is updated weekly. And you can find this at American Talk USA, AmericanTalkUSA.com.
Hi, this is Joe. Welcome back to another episode of American Talk USA on AmericanTalkUSA.com. This is episode number 31. Tonight, coming up on the program, we've got some exciting stuff. We've got Brenda skiing in Idaho. So Brenda's going to call us from the slopes, and we pray she doesn't wipe out, say some bad words, because it is a clean family program, or run into something while she's skiing. So Brenda's calling us tonight. We've also got an interview with Anonymous, who is a regular listener and contributor to United Kingdom Talk at unitedkingdomtalk.co.uk. And that's a very interesting segment from Anonymous. Anonymous was in the broadcast biz, in the golden age of broadcasting. So it's kind of an interesting segment from Anonymous tonight. We've also got a healthy relationship with failure reading from Alicia Marie Fruin, who was on last week's program in episode 30. And Captain Sean joins us this evening for a short but interesting segment about voice warnings in aircraft. And that's all coming up for you tonight on American Talk USA at AmericanTalkUSA.com.
So that's what it is. It's this guy and then a dietitian and a pilot.
And sometimes his father-in-law and other people.
Right, and occasionally another. It sounded like there was another pilot on one of the episodes.
And I think they have a sister show in Japan called Super Happy Family Wish Show.
Aaron was talking about the fact that American Talk USA does seem slightly redundant. You know, the American Talk USA talk. American nation.
It's like we're going to have Spanish Talk USA, or I guess we could if you had a bunch of Spaniards.
That's true. You could. So we were sort of laughing about that part. But if you take a look at the website, they sort of list on the left column one of the things which I think is related to the show itself and some of the things that work and don't work about the show. They do update it approximately weekly. I believe they do this through Libsyn, if I'm not mistaken. And the audio quality is generally pretty good. They have professional quality bumpers, although, as Aaron pointed out, the volume of the bumpers between clips is a little bit louder than the rest of the show. show, and so sometimes you have to ride the volume switch a little bit to kind of get up and down. That's a minor thing. And then they use PodSafe music to be able to.
And I think they got the bumpers from the airline pilot guy, because all I can hear is Delta Airlines commercials when I hear those.
So, welcome to the. Yeah, absolutely. That's true. And on the left of this website, it shows you've got podcast, you've got recipes and culinary arts, and that's what they have is recipes there. Listener scrapbook and friends link. They have an online store, free stuff and promo. You can get you can download wallpaper there. You can also get coasters and then photos and things like that. But I think the way that I would sort of indicate the some of the things with the show, we listened to three different episodes, 31, 29, and I think 18 was the other one that we listened to. And if you click on something like, let's say, the photo section, and you go over to that part of the website, you'll see a bunch of things from Scotland, Cape Hatteras, and then the Northern Michigan Open. In other words, these are the kinds of things you would expect to see from people who are posting family photos on Flickr or something right. like that, right? Which I think really kind of reflects what the show is about. And I guess this is kind of the thing that we all had some trouble with, which is, I guess, from what I understand, the show is basically just a sort of standard talk show that you'll hear from a lot of different podcasts, which is a bunch of people sitting around talking about different things, which is cool. It's a different kind of a show, and it's a different kind of thing. It's not necessarily the kind of stuff that Clea and I particularly like, but it's a different kind of a show. The problem is that when you say something like American Talk USA, and you say licensed dietitian, and there's a pilot there, I don't know. I don't know what you guys thought. I had this image of that we would have this section where every week the dietitian...
Structured.
It'll be more structured.
More professional.
That the dietitian like answers questions. And she does apparently answer email questions from people. But it seems like there's no specific time that happens. It just sort of happens in the show. And it's interspersed with her talking about skiing and doing other things with her family. So it was a little bit hard to follow what that was supposed to be about.
And they're particularly concerned with the state of Halloween around the world, though. And that's important.
That was true. Show 18, they were talking about Halloween. And they were saying, but the key is, how many of you, and it was very serious, do all of you celebrate Halloween? If so, please let us know. Or is this, okay, that sounds good. And I guess the same thing with the pilot. You know, I would have assumed that this, you know, there would have been a part of the show where you would have heard, and now, you know, Pilot Steve talks about something you didn't know about airline flying or something. And it's true that he does tell you some things that you wouldn't have known, but it just seems haphazard and kind of mixed in with him telling you about this golfing thing he went on or hanging out with his kids. And so it was unclear to me about what the show was supposed to be. Is it supposed to be American Talk USA where it's a call-in talk show? Not really. Is it supposed to be about a pilot talks about neat, interesting things? A dietitian talks about neat, interesting things? Not really. I mean, that's there, but that's not really the focus of the show. Is it just people talking to each other? It's hard to say. It was just sort of hard to get a feel for me about what the show ultimately is trying to do, I think.
My impression was, and I think the guy who hosts the show himself more or less said this, is that he has dreamed of being in broadcasting for a long while, and this is his way to try to do it. So he's just trying to do it.
Yeah, and that's his, right, and he said it's a hobby, and that's what he wants to do. But it just seemed to us that because it's kind of incoherent in that way, it makes it difficult for an audience to kind of build up. I mean, they certainly have listeners, clearly, but it's just not clear to me who specifically is going to go listen to it, because they'll listen and go, oh, I thought it was going to be this, but it's clearly not, so I'll leave. Or I thought it was going to be this, but it's clearly not, so I'll leave. So that was one thing. The other thing that we noticed was the production value of the show could have been a little bit better. I said that the audio quality was pretty good, and it was, but a lot of the stuff that you would normally take out has been left in. So, you know, they had a bunch of technical problems in one of the episodes, and they left it in, and he actually restarts the show and says, you know, I feel like I wouldn't be able to do this if I didn't restart the show. You could have edited that out, though. I mean, before we started this show, we were all, you know, joking around and talking to each other, and that would have not have been stuff that we would have put on the show, because you would have been bored. And
this
have
is actually the
jokes.
Fourth take of the show.
Yes. We're all really tired and upset. We've now.
But again, that's what I talk about, professional. I mean, if you want to make it just a podcast where you kind of are off the cuff, then do that. But if you want to try to have it be a professional show, then make it a professional show.
Right. So it was just kind of unclear to me if they wanted to be professional or not professional. And if not, then, as Clea says, then don't be. You know, then be more irreverent. Don't worry about the bumpers. Don't worry about the stuff in between. But if you are going to use the bumpers and you are going to use the music and do all the cool little, you know, radio stuff, then you need to make it more of a kind of radio show. So it's almost like I think they need to sort of identify what they want to be, it seems like to me. So
rating?
Five.
I have to be more like a 3 or a 4, honey.
Okay. I mean, I think that, yeah. I mean...
So, four.
It's just that I think that, you know, there are flashes there with the professional touches, and I think it's mostly a matter of figuring out what the show wants to be, and then being that. And if the show wants to be professional, good. If not professional, not. But figuring it out will help them, you know, sort of focus their energies one way or the other, and I think. So, it seems like it's got some potential, but it does... There's some work that needs to be done to kind of pull it together, we think. So, we would say, I guess, the 4 plus the 5 plus Aaron's recusing himself... We'll call, I guess, a 5 out of 10. Well, it can't be a 4.5.
It could be a 4.
It could be a 4.
I think you should give it a 4 because yeah. Mine was clearly was lower than a 5. That's why yeah. I recused
All right,
myself.
Okay, so then a 4 out of 10 for AmericanTalkUSA.com. Okay, that's going to do it for us for tonight. We want to thank everybody for listening as always. Please continue to submit things for review. We've had a lot of review requests, which we will get to as soon as we possibly can. We're going to try to make our schedule more regular now that baby is out and, you know, in the world, and we're, you know, trying to get into a regular schedule there. We want to thank Aaron, our guest star, for being on. Thanks,
You're
Aaron.
Welcome.
We appreciate that. Aaron, we want to thank him. And I want to thank all you guys for listening as always, and we will talk to you guys next week. Upon further review.
But I won't.
Aaron won't, but we will. But Cinevine will, so you can hear in the background. Upon further review, I'm Greg.
I'm Clea.
And I've been Aaron for this week.
See ya. The proceeding was a presentation of Upon Further Review, hosted at www.furtherreview.net. As usual, all rights are reserved. If you liked what you heard, please vote for us at podcastalley.com, vitalpodcast.com, and add us to your list of favorites at podcastpickle.com. You can leave us a comment at www.furtherreview.net, drop us a line at upon@furtherreview.net, or give us a phone call or send a fax to 206-339-UFR1. That's 206-339-8371. And lastly, don't be afraid to express your opinions. We know you have them. Let them out. Feel the power. Or you could just blindly accept whatever we tell you is fact. That'll work.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!